Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Joined now by Brian Smoller with Kansas State University. You hear him, a voice of Kansas State women's basketball. And, of course, you see him during the football games. Had on many times before. He's multidimensional director of video services, K-State HD TV there at Kansas State University. And Brian is with us today to talk about Kansas State and the exciting season to come, I think, for both the football program and the men's basketball program, and talk about Bruce Weber's recent contract extension. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Wade. How are you doing?
I'm just recovering from that crazy NBA Finals game last night. You and I were talking about that before we came on the air. It is an interesting dynamic when you can go and review a judgment call. It seems like it opens up a Pandora's box. Can you imagine if that happened at different levels of basketball or all levels of basketball?
Yeah, as you and I were mentioning together, and I think we're in agreement here, whether the call was right or wrong, and in the end, that I guess that's supposedly the intent, right, of
right.
The rule is to get it right, which I get that. But, boy, the larger implication, I just can't believe that the NBA or any level of basketball would want to have judgment calls under review, because it opens, it just, as you perfectly said, a Pandora's box of, oh, okay, well, what judgment calls do you review? Do you make all judgment calls in the final 2 minutes then reviewable? Should there be challenges? Because there were a couple of other missed calls or calls that were made that weren't accurate either.
Right.
And to have that one corrected impacted the game severely, you know, and I'm sure both ways, right? I mean, if it had stayed the way it was, the Caps probably win. If it gets reversed, then it gave the Warriors certainly a better chance to try, tie the game or take the lead. So, boy, now if George Hill makes a free throw,
yes,
or J.R. Smith doesn't have a brain cramp, perhaps
yes,
isn't as big of a topic today as it is. But because that team lost,
yes,
and that was a pivotal point, it becomes a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, officiating is not easy. I understand that. But when you can, after this game, have a whole bunch of ex-officials still arguing, and they can't agree on whether or not even it was a block or a charge, but then they have the loophole that, well, we had to check because of the restricted circle. And once you look at it, LeBron's nowhere near the circle. He's not in the circle or on the line. And that, to me, is where everything ends. Like, if he's on the line or in the circle, I understand they overturn it. But once he's outside that circle, they see it on a replay. I don't understand the latitude where they allow them to then overturn that. But it is what it is, I guess, and we'll move on. And thankfully, that has never happened during a K-State basketball game, or it will never happen if they don't have that rule in college hoops. Brian Smoller, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So let's begin with men's basketball. Of course, the big story here recently, Bruce Weber getting a contract extension, and no surprise there. You and I know there's always going to be haters with about anything, but I think those haters are not nearly as vocal when Bruce Weber goes to the Elite Eight and did it without one of, if not his best player, Dean Wade, being out most of the tournament with an injury. No surprise here, he got the extension. What about the extension itself? Does it seem like a good deal for both sides, or did one side maybe get the shorter end of the stick than the other?
I don't think so. I think it was pretty fair around. You know, contracts are a funny thing in basketball and football. In reality, coaches will say they need the years for recruiting to show stability, and that very well may be true. More on the administrative side, you know, you don't want to get tied in. I think we've seen at other schools 10-year contracts, that sort of thing that's been thrown out there for guys usually don't work out. So you don't want to get tied in too far down the road as far as an extension. If you want to make it a buyout, listen, people get wrapped up in buyout numbers and all that sort of stuff. In the end, if you want to get rid of a football coach or a basketball coach, you find the money usually to do that. You know, the only time that it becomes an issue is if it's a fully guaranteed contract and you don't see those very much anymore. So, you know, I think this is fair for both sides. I think Coach Weber has proven to be able to do the things that have been asked for him. I would say that the critics that have been pretty vocal through social media and other places so far have moved the goalposts on him mm-hmm. in his time here at K-State. You know, we remember when he got here, he couldn't recruit to this level. I think he's been able to disprove that. You know, he was discredited for the Big 12 championship by winning it with another coach's players. Well, then he's come back and obviously reached heights that have only been seen once before in the last 30 years, and that was with the previous head coach, and who was great in his own right. you know, and the development of players, I think, has been unquestioned. The other goalpost that was moved was he couldn't win on the road. I think he just proved that. You know, so it's always kind of been something else. And in the end, I think you can choose to be always unhappy and, yep, and root against your own program, or you can support your school. And I think Coach Weber is a good man. I think he's been a good fit for K-State. And hopefully he continues this run and continues to carry it forward. And I think they're efforting, as they say, out there to try and make sure they get the next batch of Barry Browns and Kamau Stokes and Wes Iwundus and Xavier Sneeds and all those guys.
On a side note, and God forbid this happens, but if you or any of your friends get fired at Kansas State University, do you get a buyout?
No, we're all on 1-year term contract. No.
You don't get $1 million buyout if they think you're not doing your job?
No.
Oh.
No. I think the only people that have multi-year contracts are assistant coaches. Beyond just the head coaches. So everybody else one year to year.
No, okay.
None
okay.
of that.
Well, I don't know who created the buyout. Whoever the person was that created the buyout or came up with the idea has made a lot of coaches a lot of money. And
agents, I'm sure.
Yes, probably, and get a big kickback on all that. It just, you know, I just look down the road. I mean, you look at Kansas football and all the failures they've had with their coaches, and at one point paying three coaches. And I just sit there and I go, well, wow, it must be good. You're good enough to coach a Division I program, but you're not good enough to stay there, and you get rewarded with a whole bunch of money to not coach. Oh, hey, no stress. Don't have to worry about dealing with the media anymore. And I get a nice big fat check. That's pretty sweet, because I know I don't get a buyout if I get canned where I'm at.
Yeah, and a lot of the problems for that school that you mentioned is for the Jayhawks has been with guaranteed contracts.
Yes,
that's where I get back into that. You don't see that very much. And those contracts that were signed for those guys were fully guaranteed. Now, that would be the sins of previous athletic directors and perhaps the one that Scott let go and Shane. But, that's the problem. You get into fully guaranteed contracts where now the buyout number is so large because you're having to pay off the remainder of the contract.
Right.
You know, so hopefully people learn from those mistakes.
If people aren't aware, what is the buyout situation on Bruce Weber's contract?
I don't know. My guess, if I remember right from the release, it sits at about $1 million and it goes down each year.
Right.
It's basically the remainder of the contract. As it goes throughout the rest of the year. It's an affordable one. I think it's also not one that makes you think, oh, it's really super low, so in case they can make a move any time. So, I don't think Coach Weber was too concerned about the buyout as to what it is, and I don't think K-State was that concerned about it because I think both sides see this as a contract that's going to have him finish his career here. You know, I don't think Coach wants to go much longer than 5 more years. It's possible that he may. But I know he has things outside of basketball that he's very interested in and does. He's very active in the community and charities, and with grandkids and his own children. So I could see this being a deal where he fulfills his 5 years or maybe gets another extension, but doesn't plan to leave K-State anytime soon. And I think as long as he continues to have the success he's having, which is postseason play every year and a deep run of the tournament once every couple years, then I think the Wildcats would be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope you don't get to that point where you have to worry about a buyout. I did pull up the numbers here. If K-State would decide to fire Bruce Weber without cause before May 1st of next year, the school would owe him $2.5 million. The number would increase to $2.6 million the following year, then drop, as you said, to $2 million in 2021, $1 million in 2022. And if he would be fired without cause after April 30th of 2022, K-State will owe him $500,000, which is not abnormal at all across the landscape of college athletics.
No, and as I said, those numbers, you're looking at his annual salary there,
right?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, his last year, I think it's a $2.9 billion base, so it goes down as it goes on, but that's just protection for K-State as well. And like, I think he even said, I don't know if it was in the release or if it was in the Catbacker event shortly thereafter, that Bruce had talked about the conversation between him and Gene Taylor to get this contract hammered out took about 10 minutes. I mean, both sides were pretty amenable, and that goes to the numbers as well. And I think there was just a little bit of fine-tuning from the respective sides and lawyers making sure that everything, all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. But really, I don't think too many people are too worried about that stuff. Because in the end, you know, for us, everyday working worker bees, right? $2 billion and $500,000, those are numbers that are hard to get your head around.
Yes.
But for the scope of college athletics, we're talking about a budget that's $70+ million. And you have donors, and I mean, listen, in the end, if K-State basketball goes out, which I don't think they will, it falls completely flat this year and next, and K-State has to make a move, they'll find a way to come up with $2 million. If Bruce Weber goes out and wins the national championship next year, and they feel like they got to reward their coach and change that buyout up another $500,000 or another $1 million, they'll find a way to do it.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's a result. Based business.
Yes.
I think both sides are protected here for the next couple of years.
I agree with you. Brian Smoller, Kansas State University, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs. One more thing about the basketball team, then we'll shift to football. The expectations for next year, they haven't been this high for a while. Barry Brown coming back, not going to stay in the draft. That was not unexpected. Dean Wade dealing with the injury that he suffered there late in the season and missed pretty much the whole NCAA tournament. He'll be back hopefully 100% and healthy. Just talk about the expectations for this team going next year. Some believe that K-State is the biggest threat, and I think that would probably be an accurate assessment. The biggest threat to stop KU's streak of the Big 12 championships. Of course, KU looks to be loaded as they always reload. They don't have to rebuild. And talk about those expectations, because teams, you see this a lot of times in sports, teams that have expectations or maybe get used to it, maybe can handle that a little bit better. And then teams that maybe overachieve, and maybe that's unfair to K-State, what they did this year in the NCAA tournament, but certainly was unexpected, that it can be a little bit different dynamic when it comes to being the hunted instead of being the hunter. Does that make any sense?
No, I think that's a very accurate point, and certainly a point of concern for everybody. You know, I think it's been talked about a lot by Bruce Weber with his guys and meetings that they've had since the season has ended. I think they talked about it day one after the tournament when they got back, just that you can't be complacent. I mean, Bill Snyder talks about it all the time. You may have the exact same group of guys back the next year, but the chemistry is always different because people grow and mature, or perhaps, as you said, get complacent or overconfident in what has happened and just assume that things are going to continue because that's what happened the last year. I would say that you feel a little bit encouraged that a guy like Barry Brown would not let that happen, and he seems to have really become the alpha male and alpha dog in sort of the locker room for K-State. You know, they're going into the last year, there was still, is this Kamau's team? Is this Barry's team? Is it Dean's team? You know, you were still kind of waiting to see who would take over that. And if there was one positive from the Stokes injury, it was it forced Barry to kind of become, this is my team and it's going to wear my identity. And even though he wasn't really the point guard. And because of that, he's highly motivated going into this season. You get the sense that they're not going to let it happen. Now, you still got to go out and prove it. And as you said, it's a whole different deal when you're playing and everybody, you're the game, right? KU's been playing with that sort of mentality and that target on their back for a very long time, and they understand how to play with it. They walk into someone else's arena, it's the national championship for the Jayhawks, that game, whoever it is that's playing them.
Right.
It's going to be that way for K-State in a couple of places, and especially if they're off to the start that everybody hopes for. So you're going to, we'll have to see, you know, knock on wood, everybody stays healthy. That's the number one, first and foremost thing. If K-State stays healthy, all those guys, then they'll have a shot, but they'll have to work harder than they did last year. Harder to be able to do what they did last year and do it again, in my opinion. That's just how sports work. It isn't going to be easier. It's going to be harder. And if you're willing to work harder and be mentally tough and understand you're going to struggle at times, then you may have a chance to be able to do it. You know, we go back to the team of K-State when they came back with Jake Pullen returned, Curtis Kelly the year after.
Yep.
They went to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have the same type of season, largely for some of those reasons. K-State baseball won the Big 12 championship in 2013, brought everybody back. I mean, almost everyone for the 2014 season, and epically collapsed. And those guys talked a lot about how they took a lot of things for granted, thinking it was going to be the same.
Yep.
And just you hope those lessons have been learned and talked about enough already that it lays the seeds for guys going in with the, you know, understanding how much work it's going to take. And the other part of this is going to be the fans, right?
I mean,
we as fans expect, you know, you get to the point where you're expecting, okay, we are going to be the Big 12 champions or co-champions, and we're going to win the national title. And those expectations you would hope for fans are tempered a bit, because the last thing you want is going into the season, they lose a game and everybody's panicking because they lost a game. They're going to lose a game. I just hope I can dispel that for your listeners right now. K-State men's basketball will lose a game, and they may lose a game that they're not supposed to lose
right. In
the early part of the season. But in the end, as we saw in the tournament, all that matters is if you get in and you find a way to get a good matchup, and the rest can be done in March.
I'm glad you just mentioned that, because that's kind of where I was going here. If I were a betting man, and they're going to supposedly legalize sports betting in the state at some point, if I were a betting man, and you mentioned matchups NCAA tournament, and it was terrific for the state of Kansas, whether you're a Wildcat fan or Jayhawk fan, and the Shockers made the tournament as well, of course. KU makes the Final Four. Some people didn't think they'd get there. They had a rough season at times in regards to some of the adversity, although saying that they're a huge underdog is kind of silly when they were the number one seed. Kansas State, of course, wasn't expected to make the Elite Eight. They make the Elite Eight. So you had two Kansas schools that were in essence, the Final Eight, and one went to the Final Four. And I think most people would agree with me on this, is that on paper, going into next year, K-State should have a better season record-wise than this past year, that KU should have a better record than last year because all the talent they got coming in and all the size they're going to have after not having a lot last year. But if I were a betting man, Brian Smoller, I would tell you that both those programs are going to have better records. They could easily go 1-2 in the conference, and I would be willing to bet you both those teams don't get as far in the tournament as they did last year.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe bet, and people would probably say, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But that's just playing the odds, right, and just
Yes. Understanding
how that tournament works. The NCAA tournament is not football, okay? In some respects, that's a good thing. But in the other side of it, it also means that the best basketball team usually doesn't win the national championship.
Yep.
That's not how that tournament is designed to work. What makes the tournament great is sitting there watching the upsets, right? It's watching Loyola. It's watching UMBC pull off upsets. That's what makes the basketball tournament so great. But it also means that the best teams are not usually rewarded for what they did during the regular season with a deep run in the postseason. I mean, it's silly to sit here and talk about how much, for a long time, the knock on Bill Self and KU, and everyone likes to bring up their early exits. But look at what they've, you know, look at how far they have gotten
Yes. Over
the time that he's been there, right? But everybody wants to remember the years that they didn't, and that's because of how good they were during the regular season. And that's, yeah, right now, today, the odds are against K-State making the Final Four. If you're convinced as a fan, hey, K-State's going to the Final Four next year, you got a rude awakening coming, because that's like a one in well, I guess 68 chance, right?
That's right.
And that's a pretty low percentage. It doesn't matter if you're top seed anymore. It doesn't matter if you're a low seed. It all matters on matchups, right? And who you match up against and who you catch at the right time, and all that won't be known for months. All the rest you can do is enjoy the ride, and that's all I hope K-State fans do next year. Don't get too anxious and wrapped up into it and the highs and lows, the roller coaster of emotion that can be there during a basketball season. Just enjoy the fact that we're sitting here talking about this.
Yes,
that this team has a chance to finish in the top three of the league. They bring back guys that are going to be challenging for scoring records and rebound records here at K-State. You're going to be watching one of the greatest collection of individual talent that K-State basketball has ever had, on the court at the same time. So enjoy the ride, because it should be fun.
Yeah, good point. You know, and an example, a few years ago, Kentucky was, what, 40-0? And they didn't even make it to the championship game, lost in the semifinals. So it happens a lot where the best team doesn't win the NCAA tournament, as you mentioned. Let's shift to football real quick here in the final minutes that we have you. Of course, the sexy position in football is quarterback. In Kansas State football, you know, sometimes you hear the saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you can't decide on a starter, that means you don't have one, you don't have a great quarterback. I think K-State's a little bit different situation because Alex Delton was so great in the bowl game, and maybe the light bulb is going on, and he's maybe will be the starter day one. Skylar Thompson, we know how good he can be, and he showed it last year. Just tell us a little bit about the quarterback battle and who you think might have the edge or who you think should be the starter day one, because I know a lot of people seem to be leaning towards, well, Skylar Thompson's a better passing quarterback. That's the guy we got to go with. But yet the way K-State typically runs their offense with a more, you know, quarterback running offense as we've seen over the years, and maybe that changes with some of the coaching personnel and offensive coordinator with Coleman and then Klein maybe involved in some of that, and a former K-State quarterback, maybe they'll lessen the load on the quarterback because he knows as well as anybody how you can get beat up running the ball too many times. But when you look at Kansas State and quarterback situation, how do you think that might play out?
Well, I think you outlined it pretty well. You know, I there are two options there, and they're both pretty good. And you know, it's easy to lump Skylar Thompson into the, well, he's just the more passing of the two, and Delton's the more runner of the two. And I think the football staff's done a pretty good job of trying to explain it. I think it's a little more even in those two areas. Thompson's a probably better runner than people think, and certainly adept and capable of doing that same sort of offense that K-State's run in time past. And Delton is a much better passer and has taken it upon himself to become a better passer since the end of last season, and would be a guy that could carry the load there if needed. I think if you're K-State, and really in college football in general, it's pretty rare to watch a guy go the entirety of the season as a starting quarterback and never get hurt. So to that end, K-State's got to feel pretty good. They got two guys that either one of them could run out there and be a starting quarterback and win games at this level. So you're kind of protected already. That makes you feel pretty good. As to which guy gets the nod, I don't know. And I don't think K-State will know until the end of August. Your hope is someone separates and that you have a clear number one, but you also want it to be a case where, you know, you got a chance with either guy. And if one goes down, you got the other one to come right back in. I'll say this about the end of last season. If the bowl game had not happened, if the bowl game had not gone the way that it had, I don't think we'd be having the same conversation.
I agree.
So the body of work would tell you that Skylar Thompson has proven more at this level that he would be the guy. So if you're asking me, Brian Spoehler, unaffiliated, just personal opinion, my guess would be that Skylar Thompson has a slight edge, only because he did a larger body of work.
Right.
And Alex, while unbelievable in that game against UCLA, had a little bit of a matchup edge that worked in his favor, in that UCLA really could not stop the run. And so as a running quarterback, he ran wild. You can't discount that, though, because we saw with Colin Klein running K-State's offense as a predominantly run quarterback first option, almost won the national championship. So, you know, as you mentioned, Andre Coleman now running the offense, how much does that change? How much does K-State implement different looks offensively? How much do they stay with what's worked for the better part of three decades with Bill Snyder? You know, I don't know. I don't think any of that stuff will be known, and they don't want to tip their hand either until after that second game with Mississippi State, would be my guess, and then we'll have a pretty good idea.
All I know is it could be a really exciting year for K-State Athletics, especially on the football side of things. Men's basketball, I think the women's basketball team will be better. The baseball team's going to have a coaching change. There's a lot of things for you guys to cover in this upcoming season, isn't there?
There is. You know, I think volleyball is excited. They just announced that they have the nation's 26th ranked recruiting class joining their squad. They feel pretty good about their impact freshmen right away. I know soccer, Mike DeBini, they've done an outstanding job in recruiting. I think they feel very good about their second year, full year in the Big 12, really getting a lot of momentum built there. Golf's had a great finish this year. Of course, track and field, yet another Big 12 championship. Sounds like they continue to build things up on the men's side, joining that strong women's team. So tennis, an unbelievable year for Daniel Steinberg's group. And they have six of eight people back. Four of those six are freshmen this year. So they seem to be poised for a big breakout. So, to carry. And it's funny because you'd stop from time to time, and somebody's like, well, why did you guys add this sport? Why haven't you added this sport? And from from our video and broadcast standpoint, we're like, hold on, we got enough.
Yeah, you guys are busy.
We got enough going on right now, trying to cover everything we can with our little cadre of people here up at K-State. We're a pretty small department, and trying to cover what we got is tough as it is. I can't imagine adding another one into the mix, but anyway, well, that's a personal aside.
I've got a suggestion for you for a sport to add since you brought it up, and that is, and I don't know if it's an official sport or not, but water volleyball. The reason I bring this up is when we went on a vacation, we went to the Dominican Republic, and my 11-year-old son went with us. First time he's ever gone on a trip with us in regards to going out of the country. And so a lot of the time that we passed was at the resort's pool, and we played water volleyball a lot. And he's short, but he really did a nice job. And so a whole bunch of these people from different, you know, when you go out of the country, you got people from all different countries that you end up like meeting. Sometimes you understand them. The accents are heavier. Sometimes you can understand what they're saying. Sometimes they're a whole different language. But those that we could understand were like, what? They were talking about my son. Like, well, what, do they have volleyball? Does he play volleyball? I'm like, no, there's no volleyball. There's no boys volleyball team in Beloit, Kansas. And they're like, there isn't? I was like, no. And they're like, well, what about water volleyball? I'm like, does that even exist? And I'm sitting there going, well, he's a little bit short, but hey, there's a sport they can add at K-State, and I'll get him a full scholarship, right? And then I don't have to pay for college for him. I think that's the way to go. And you guys could put it on HDTV. I can watch it on the computers. I don't have to travel even watch him. So you guys do such a good job with everything else. What's one more sport?
Yeah, well, I will say this. What you got going for you there is that the water volleyball sounds great, in that we already have a pool at the Nanatorium, right? And,
yes.
I mean, it can't be that hard to string across it. You have all the volleyball stuff already.
Right.
Right? So you just take the net and the balls over there and throw it in the water and put a camera up, and there you go.
Yeah, you wouldn't even need a whole bunch of different camera shots. It'd be fairly easy.
No.
Yeah.
And you're not spending a whole lot of money on uniforms. So, your overhead's pretty low.
Unless it's women's water volleyball, then we probably would probably have to come up with some kind of uniform, of course. But
yeah,
I'm with you. Off the wall question for you before we let go real quick. Appreciate the time as always. Did you hear about Cleveland Browns safety Demarius Randle telling everyone, if the Cleveland Cavaliers win the 2018 NBA Finals, I'll buy everyone who retweets this a jersey? Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
Okay.
And saw the result, yep.
I was one of the 884,000 retweets hoping to get a Anderson Varejao jersey out of the deal. So my question for you is, if you could have Demarius Randle get you any jersey that you wanted of any player athlete of all time, what jersey would you choose?
Ooh, man, that is a tough one. I'm pretty partial to Bo Jackson.
Yes.
From the Royals during his heyday, just having watched him in person. I'm not a big jersey guy wearing jerseys, but that's one that I think that I would appreciate quite a bit, no doubt. It's kind of a throwback, though. So if you're asking me for a current athlete, then, you can't go wrong with LeBron. I'm a huge believer in, I love watching generational talent play sports. You and I are in the same folk, or you're watching so much sports, you have a true appreciation for those who are great at their craft, be it down at state track and field, watching some people shatter records. You just have an appreciation for people that are unbelievably great at their sport. And in watching basketball, I'm not a huge NBA fan, but I'll certainly watch the playoffs. I sit there mesmerized by what I see from LeBron James. And yeah, there's other players that are great and interesting and fun to watch, but all I can think in my mind is people are going to be talking about LeBron James 20 years from now, the way we revere and talk about Wilt Chamberlain, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell. He is incredible to watch. So if you're asking for a current person's jersey, it would be LeBron James, from only that standpoint of it's historical, it's a generational, and it will be another 15, 20 years, I would think, before we see another person that is like that, that is so head and shoulders athletically and talent above everyone else that plays the game.
well said, and that's why I get tired of the who's better, Michael or LeBron. Just enjoy what he brings to the table right now because, like you said, he's a once-in-a-generation player. Bo Jackson, would you wear the Royals jersey or the Raiders jersey, or would you do a half-and-half situation?
There would be in no way on this planet a scenario that I would wear a Raiders jersey.
Thank you.
None.
Thank you.
None. And I, my, you know, our friend Jordy is now on the Raiders. And,
yeah.
And I love him like a brother, but no. In no shape or form, if anybody gave me Raiders stuff, that would be immediately pitched into the trash or give it away.
You will stick with the Packer Nelson jersey. I understand where you're going with that. Bo Jackson, I said just the other day, it's funny you brought it up. I said he is the greatest athlete I have ever seen play. Ever in any sport, he's the greatest athlete I've ever seen. And I had somebody said, what do you mean? He mentioned LeBron, this and that. I'm like, listen, LeBron's unbelievable. Michael Jordan's unbelievable. But Bo Jackson was an all-star in both sports. And, well, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Well, you're too young. You never saw him play. If he didn't get hurt, he could have been a Hall of Famer in both sports. He was a once-in-a-generation talent, like you were talking about.
Well, it's almost like those guys, those players that we're talking about are like, if you went to the future, right, and you grabbed a guy, the normal average body or talent level of that person, and then transported them back 20, 30 years and plopped them down into that roster and that era of baseball or sports. That is what those players, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So Michael Jordan was a guy that looked like he would dominate, he'd be the everyday type of athlete today, but you dropped him down into the 1980s and 90s where no one could be like that. No one was there yet. And same with LeBron, same with Tiger in his heyday, same with Bo Jackson. You go back and watch the highlights of Bo Jackson, the guy looks like guys you see today running around. And he's playing back in a time where nobody looked like that.
Yep.
Nobody. And you may, you know, I've heard some people say, well, performance enhancing drug. No. Bo was like that from college days in Auburn. He's just gifted. He was God-given muscle from head to toe and an unbelievable talent. And he was on a different planet. He was on a different level than everyone else. Faster, stronger, could do everything. And pretty incredible. And it was pretty sad the day that I remember watching the game where he got hurt.
Me
and
too.
Thinking, man, hopefully he'll just bounce back from it. And
yep.
See it just torpedo after that. It was so disheartening.
It was. It didn't look like it was going to be that serious at first. Turned out to be very, very serious. Brian, we appreciate the time. I'm guessing maybe have a little bit more free time during the summer. I don't know. But we hope you have a terrific summer, and we'll talk to you again once the football season rolls around.
Sounds good, Wade.
Appreciate it. Brian Smoller, you can see all of his work, HDTV. He's director of video services, K-State HDTV at K-State Athletics. He's on the radio. He's everywhere. He does a wonderful job covering K-State University and their athletics across the university. We appreciate his time.